Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie, and I'm excited to share with you Linda Olson. Today, we're going to be talking about impact, how to explode your message with story. And during this conversation, we're going to be, just a second here. Let me hide that there. Hi, Linda. And just a second, I'm going to go through the talk points real quick and come back and greet you here. So we are going to be talking about why just sharing your story to inspire others doesn't work, what you can do about it. Also, the number one secret to transforming your story from boring to brilliant, 5 key areas a potential buyer looks for in a book, and how to rise above in a competitive market, 3 reasons you must learn to share your story now. And Linda is the CEO of Well Through Story. She is an international speaker and number one best-selling Amazon author. Her mission is to impact more than 1 million people annually. And you can learn more about her over at wealththroughstories.com, as well as invite her to speak at womenspeakers.com. And she also join us at The Well. She's one of our presenters at seeyouatthewell.net this spring coming up. And here we go. So Linda, are you with me?
I am with you. Yes. And I'm excited to be with you.
Well, I'm a little messed up here because we just had some tech issues right flowing into the beginning of this. And that's just sometimes how it goes. But God is good. And, one of the things that you and I know very well, Linda, is that oftentimes when you set out to do something for God, it doesn't go exactly like you expect. And it isn't always smooth sailing.
And you're absolutely right. But most of the time, that only means because it's going to be more powerful.
It's going to be really good.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, I'm excited that we get to see each other at The Well here coming up in just a few weeks. And we want to see you guys at The Well. And Linda, your passion is to help people communicate the stories that God has given them. You were one of our speakers at the January Best You 2022 Summit. And one of the phrases that has just resonated around the world is that the thing that has to be present in every good story is a little bit of trauma.
Conflict. Yeah.
Conflict.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, we all hate that part.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And we want it to just be smooth sailing, and we want tech to be perfect, and we want us to look perfect and never sin. And we want everything to be all perfect before we step out. But God just says he wants us to, just like Peter, step out of the boat, walk on the water, looking straight into his eyes and not at the waves.
Very well said. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because that's the cool thing about him. He takes us and meets us exactly where we're at.
Right. And it's not about our ability to walk on water.
Oh, no.
Never was.
No, right? Waiting for that, man.
I know.
You never get there.
Yeah, right. And, you know, my sister, we always tease around because her story is so traumatic. But we always say, you know, everybody wants a testimony, but nobody wants the test.
That's good.
So the first thing I wanted to ask you about was why just sharing your story to inspire others doesn't work. So first of all, why doesn't it just work?
You know what? People are hurting so much today that it's like giving a little motivational talk. It's just not enough. I mean, it's barely whetting the appetite. And so they need something to feed their soul. And they want to know that you understand them. And so, yes, just giving, you know, an inspirational story and making them feel good, that's good until they walk out the door and then it's gone. And you want them to give them something that they'll be able to take with them. Yes.
So how do you do that? Like, what changes from the basic way you were telling your story when you started listening to this interview to the way we'll tell it after this interview? What changes about my story to make it more than just motivation?
You know, the key is really sharing on a personal level and going deeper into your story, which requires the most difficult part, and that is to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Because in being vulnerable, there's always that risk of getting hurt. And just like you said, you know, we all want to share a testimony. We just don't want to go through the test. Yeah. We just don't want to take that risk. But, you know, it's just key that we do in order to connect, in order to connect with others where they're at.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think I always say that the right time to share a testimony, the right time to get vulnerable in front of an audience, either written or presentation live on a platform, is after you are scarred over, not while the wound is open and bleeding. It's not the right time. God may call someone to do that sometime, but typically he will allow you to heal and then tell your story.
Absolutely. And see, then when we are healed or basically healed, of course, we have so much more to share, because looking back, you know, then we're pulling out the lessons that we've really learned through that. Yes.
And the other thing is, a scar is actually tougher than the skin that was there before the wound. Ooh, and so, you know, so the way that God has set this up is he has actually designed the healing process to prepare us to be able to take those arrows that, people who are judgmental or possibly just simply don't understand the circumstances will throw at you. And when you take a step platform, or when you take a book, like you said, it being vulnerable, I mean, you really have to, you're saying, I'm going to put this all out here now. And then whatever you guys do, you know, that's what you do. You're out of control of what people are going to say about it. You have to. I think Brené Brown says, you know, authenticity is fully showing up without any guarantee of the outcome.
Well said.
It's terrifying. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
And so you have to be doing this through Christ and do it at a state, at a point when you're healed up and ready to take some arrows. Of course, the shield of faith is up, so you feel the arrows, but they don't really hit you.
Yes.
So what's the number one secret of transforming your story from boring to brilliant?
You know, it's really what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And that is that whole idea of vulnerability. And that all is encompassed in loving our story. You know, it's one thing to tell somebody about an incident or an event or something else. Wow. It's totally different when we're fully embracing that story. And fully embracing it is owning it. And that's what we need to do. We really need to be able to own our story. Otherwise, we'll take people off track. I was just working with some ladies last week on their story. And one has a great sense of humor. And in the midst of her pain, she quickly said something humorous. And I said, you know, there's a place and time for that. But if you want people to get in touch with their pain, you have to be willing to go there yourself. So the humor is good. Let's save it for a little later in your talk. And let's go there now.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. Let's just hunker down here for just a second. So when my kids were younger, they're now all in their 30s, which is crazy to me that I have kids in their 30s. But when they were younger, they would tend to say things like, I just don't think you understand, because my faith in God is so strong that no matter what the circumstance is, I quickly go into faith mode. And I face the issue, the challenge or whatever, and then by faith carry on. And so that can look to others irresponsible or just disillusioned, like almost like a Pollyanna. Let's stick our head in the sand and not really look at how terrible this thing really is. And so there's a balance here between faith that is seeing everything just as horribly as it is, and trusting God anyway, and a different kind of approach that looks at things as horrible as they are or that they were, and stays hunkered down in that pain permanently or for a long, long time. And, you know, the Bible talks about grieving, and we're allowed to grieve. That's part of what God, I mean, he built us needing that. We're not just allowed, we need it.
Yes.
But he didn't create us to stay there. He didn't create us to stay there. So when you were working with her through her story, She was in the grief, but jumped out of it too soon. How does a person know the right in a talk or in a book, the right pace to, or even just in telling a story to a person face to face? How do you know when you're ready to come out of the pain and into the next stage?
You know, a big part of it is initially, if we're grabbing attention, and see, the thing is, the way we connect best is through story. So if we're telling our story and we're connecting through pain, because we live in such a broken world today, and everyone has pain, problems, and conflict. Everyone. You know, if you're just sharing your victory story to me, I'm thinking, well, good for you, Marnie. But I'm telling you, I lost my job last week. You know, right. That's just not working for me.
Right.
But when you're telling me about a painful situation, even though it may be entirely different what I experienced, mm-hmm. it's like, wow, she went through that and she made it through that. I can go through this too. Yeah. You know, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
And so it's important that we allow ourselves to feel that pain and share it. Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, give them a little bit of time. It depends if we're talking one-on-one or speaking at a group.
Yeah.
But just, you know, give them a little time to process that.
Yeah.
And then we can move on to, you know, maybe a couple of teaching points or something. I don't know if that's helpful to you, but can I just share a tip that was helpful for me kind of thing, you know? And maybe in that, at some point, you know, you just share something, how you came up with that, and there may be some humor in it and so forth. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's so important to understand them and meet them where they're at.
Yeah.
You're walking alongside of them in wherever they're at, but you're not going to stay stuck in your pain. You're going to show them, you know, what did work. But if you get ahead of them, then it's like, oh my goodness, this is overwhelming. And I just shut you out because it was, you know, it was too much. So you're right. There is a healthy balance, and we need to be really sensitive to where the other person is at.
I love that. And I feel like it kind of came full circle. So the key here is that it is your story, but there are other people's hearts being affected by it. And if you rush too fast, then you kind of run over their hearts and leave them behind. And the whole point of sharing a story isn't so that you get to tell it. It's so that they can benefit from it. And so to be thinking of the other person.
Right. So it's the purpose. You're right. It is your story, but the purpose in sharing this story is to connect with them. And we never want to lose sight of our purpose. Yeah.
So I often say I would be more faithful if it didn't appear and feel so irresponsible. So what that looks like to me is when I'm facing a huge challenge, like, for example, my father died suddenly and God really comforted me, like within 5 minutes, he supernaturally comforted my heart to the point where I was able to process that very graciously and without, I mean, I understand what pain of loss can be, and God just spared me from it. And I needed to, in that circumstance, I needed to remain sensitive to the people around me who hadn't been given that same gift that I had been given. So yes, I was able to joyfully walk through that. And I still had a pain in my heart for about 6 months, but I didn't have that crushing grief that would have typically come. And so I think that the key is that the story you're telling is for the benefit of the listener. And so back to, you know, what you said again, and to let it be develop the story enough so that they can experience actually what you were experiencing before you take them to what happened next.
Yes, because that's all part of, we're here to serve them.
Right.
And that's all part of coming from that humble servant position.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Love that. There are 5 key areas that a potential buyer looks for in a book. And it's a very competitive market. So would you take us through those 5?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's interesting, like Amazon right now, I understand There are a million new authors every year. A million new authors. I mean, that's what our competition is. And we think, because so many people have their book on Amazon, that, you know what, if we get a book up there, people will just be
running by it.
Yeah, exactly. And that is not the case at all. Yes. So the first thing we want to do, and for example, I just picked up my book, Love Your Story. So the first thing is the title. That the title somehow has to catch attention. And then we go to the subtitle. I got to get this right. In my case, it says, let God define your story to be the champion you were meant to be.
Yeah.
So it's the title, then the subtitle. It's like the subtitle really expands what the title is about. And then the next thing we do is we go to the back cover. And now we can read in more detail exactly what it's going to be. I usually like to list at least 5 or 6 benefits of the book, what it'll do for you. It'll tell them a little bit about me. And then if they're still interested, then they're going to go to the table of contents. And why am I not getting to it right away?
But you know, when you're saying that, I'm thinking about, I picked up a book and it wasn't too long ago. I picked up the book and I opened up the jacket, and in the jacket, it said chapter 1, page number, chapter 2, page number, chapter 3, page number. Imagine how fast I set it down. It's like, I have no idea what's in this book.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so then as you go to the contents, and even if there's 1 or 2 chapters that just kind of jump out, because again, those titles are very important. And if they're still with us and grabbing that attention, they will probably just start reading that first chapter or the introduction or prelude or whatever it is.
Right. Right. Yeah. So hold your book up again, because that's brand new, right? This is your new one.
Well, this one, actually, I'm just right now writing. Yes, this is new, but I'm writing a 40-day devotional that.
That's it.
Yeah. Yes. That goes along.
I'm excited. Yeah. That's great. You guys want to check that out. Love Your Story. You know what? We went past that pretty quickly. I want to kind of loop back around to Loving Your Story. So there's a storyteller that every person listening to me can think of in their own life who tells them lots of stories, and they're all really downers. I mean, every time you're with that person, they have another great story for you. And when you're done, you're just like, wow, that's just too bad. And they're always so, you know, but I think the difference between that and what you're talking about with Love Your Story, it is imperative for us to at some point recognize that God is bringing good in our lives through all of this trauma and all this conflict and all these trials, and that he is not doing it just so that we have really sad sob stories to share with other people. That's really not the purpose.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I talked about that in a training this morning, and that is, you know, it's really Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so either we believe things happen to us, which often keep us in this victim state, or they happen for us. And if they happen for us, that's why in telling a story, or even in speaking, I say, you know what, grab that attention. And if you can tell it in 1 or 2 minutes, you tell them where you came from, and in 1 or 2 minutes, then let's say you have a 30-minute talk, the rest of the time you are building them up. So you make sure they walk out of that door, they are inspired, they are excited, they have
equipped.
They're equipped to go forward, because there's nothing worse, and we've all heard it, where somebody will spend 25 minutes talking about their trauma, and then the last 5 minutes, oh, and God really healed me, you know? And really? That's not what I'm feeling right now.
Again, it's back to how is the listener experiencing this, instead of what do I want to say or what do I have to say? It brings me back to the first time I had gone on an international mission trip, and it was so the traffic was so astounding to me, terrifying. Every time you were in a vehicle, I was just praying and praising God the whole time just to try to stay ahead of the thoughts that were happening in my head when you were in these near-death situations every single time you're in a vehicle. Wow. And, you know, it was just so traumatic. And I look back, and when I did my report at the church after that first trip, it was all about the traffic. And I remember looking back at that thinking, that's so funny. That was the biggest thing to me, was that the traffic. And it wasn't the biggest thing. It wasn't nearly the biggest thing. It wasn't even important, really. Mm. But because it seemed really big to me, it became the whole story or most of the story. Mm. And I think the key here is to keep remembering, what does your audience need to hear? Not what's the biggest thing to you. Does your audience need to hear?
Yes, absolutely. I heard a speaker trainer say this one time, and it just stayed with me. He said, it's not what we give them, it's what they leave with that matters. And we think they're leaving with all the knowledge and all the wonderful things that we've shared. No, they don't. It's what do they leave with? Yes.
Yeah, really important. So what are the three reasons that you encourage people to tell their stories now?
You know, people are hurting, as we know, and there's an urgency. There's just an urgency that there's so many people, unfortunately, caught up in fear, caught up in overwhelm, caught up in anxiety, and, you know, they just don't even know where to go. And so if God has given us a story and a story that he wants us to share, then he has equipped us to be able to share and let them know we don't have to stay stuck in our story. That doesn't mean horrible events haven't happened to you and I as well in the last 2 years, but it does mean that we don't have to stay there. We can learn from it and move on. And so because of the pain, hearts are more open than they have been before. And that's why some of the revivals that are happening, I mean, it's so exciting. And it's because people are hurting. And so hearts are open. And, you know, the thing is, there's no one in the entire world that has a story just like you. So if you don't share it, who's going to? And your story is the greatest gift that you have.
I was thinking back to your Amazon, an extra million authors a year entering the market. But the reality is that the search engines now are so fine-tuned that people are able to actually find the story that matches their need. I mean, it's like it has a downside, of course. There's so much competition. But if you think about it, the fact that you live today, if you tell your story in a way that makes it possible for those who need to find it, to find you, to find your story, and that's exactly what they needed, it's more opportunity than ever before. Because even I was thinking back to I think it was 1990 or so, I was on a library board that there was a new building being built. And at that time, in the whole state of Minnesota, in all of the libraries put together, there were 7 million books.
Wow.
In the whole state. So think about that. 30 years later, we've got a million new authors coming on. But back then, you didn't have the ability to go online and find any of them. Mm-hmm. You know, you actually had to go to the library and see what was on the shelf, or go to the bookstore and see what was on the shelf. So we, you know, while it's a lot more, there's also a lot more opportunity. And, you know, you can have your own website and they can find it through your ministry, your speaking ministry, whatever it is. So whatever your story is, and Linda, I just love you really focus on really getting these stories very tight so that even if you only have 1 to 2 minutes, that you can really change a life with a story.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Well, I want you guys to check out Linda's website. Again, Linda, the website name is?
WealthThroughStories.com.
And of course, you are a speaker with us over at womenspeakers.com. Invite her to share with your group and come and meet us at the well. We'd love to meet you face to face. See you at thewell.net. And that's coming right up in April here. So thank you, Linda, for joining me. Thank you for your beautiful ministry and how you are helping share a million stories a year around the world, or stories to a million. And I love your ministry and love what you do.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for this opportunity, and bless you for what you do.
All right. You guys have a great day. See you next time. Bye-bye. Bye.